It is a especially a blessing to be here this morning, to be here to, as we have already stated, to love and to honor our mothers. And this is a day that has set aside for doing that. And it's a it's one of those days that's kind of a it's a mixed bag for a lot of people. And it's a it can be, you know, for preachers and those who are speaking today, it can kind of be a minefield of sorts, because there's, you know, if there's one thing that that I know is that family can really elicit a lot of emotions, some good, some not so good. And anytime you start talking about this or that, whether it's Mother's Day or whether it's Father's Day, whether it's, you know, Flag Day. I had a bad experience with a flag one time. I mean, you know, the whole emotional gamut is present. And I'll be honest with you, it's scary to me, especially on this day, because there's one thing that that we take seriously. Well, there's a few things in this country we take seriously. You know, the flag and mothers, and it's a blessing, and it's difficult, because I know there are some who have a wonderful relationship with their mothers, and there's some whose mom might have not been that wonderful, this or that, and then there's some who struggle with, I want to have children, but I just don't have any of my own, or my mom passed away, and it's just, this day brings about so many emotions, so many feelings, so many, you know, and I appreciate so much Hayden. You know, this morning, you know, we're talking about, and I asked him, I said, okay, you know, you're ready, right? Because he's been, you know, thinking about it, and ever since Chuck asked him to do it, and he said, oh yeah, I'm ready. I'm not going to blow Mother's Day, Dad, don't worry. And, you know, and I think about that all year. If there's any sermon you just can't blow, it's Mother's Day. But I appreciate that analogy, that reality of light, and you know, it's one of those things where if you had the greatest mother ever, you know, you learn what to do with your life. You learn how to live your life. If you had a mother that wasn't so, you know, left so much to be desired, you kind of have an example of what not to do. But God gives us people in our life to teach us things and to guide us. And this morning, you know, whether you are a mother or an aunt or a grandmother, whether, you know, whatever, if you are a woman in the sound of my voice, you have had an impact on the lives of someone. And we're honoring that today, whether, like Hayden said, whether you are a mother or you're just motherly. Today is your day. Today is a day where we honor you. And I know that there are emotions and feelings that have come from years gone by. And you have to deal with those and pray about those and learn from those. But realize that regardless of what you have gone through in your life, regardless of who you are, who raised you, you know, the experiences, today we want to honor you as somebody who God is using and has used in the life of someone to be Jesus for them. And that's important. And mothers and ladies do that so well. And it's been my experience in, you know, this is my, I have to do the math real quick, 7th or 8th Mother's Day at Highland Hills. And if there's one thing I know about the ladies here, is that they want to please God, and they want to honor God, and they want to take all that God has to offer and to absorb that and to process that and to pass that on to their own children, to the children that they know, to the grown adults that they know, and just being the godly woman that God wants them to be. And this morning, I want to talk about that. If you've got the your order of worship, you can look on the back and the sermon notes is, you know, what makes godly women godly? And one of the things that I want to talk about on this Mother's Day, it's not just what, you know, makes, you know, godly women godly. It's not just having kids. It's being the person that God wants you to be to guide the next generation. Charlie was right when he said the future of the country just left the building. Or left the, they didn't leave the building. They didn't leave the building, did they? No, they just left the auditorium, you know. I didn't hear any vehicle startup, but you never know with our kids. But not only, you know what's more important than being the future of this country? The future of the church just went upstairs. And godly women have such a key role in that, have such an inspirational role in forming the present and more importantly, the future of not just this nation, but the church, the representation of the body of Christ on this planet is formed by the women that we're going to talk about this morning. What is it that makes godly women godly? As Chance has read in Colossians chapter 3, and starting in verse 13 or 12, as chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. This morning, we're going to talk about one of those words in there that I think kind of sums up the whole concept of what he's talking about, that sums up the reality of what it is that we celebrate in women that help make us who we are as we follow Christ, and that's kindness. This morning, we're going to talk about following an example of godly women who God has put in our life, and talk about how do you show this kindness. If it's one thing that you think back on, the mothers that have been in your life, the godly women who have been in your life, there's one word that comes, that kind of sums it all up, and it's this word kindness. You can think about, she was always so kind. And if there's been anyone in your life that's kind of been a negative that you just seem to forget, there's one word that you'd use, they weren't very kind. Compassion and patience and all that, it can be summed up in this kindness. This gentle, kind soul. They didn't do everything right, but they just sort of had this spirit about them. They just sort of had this aura around them that you weren't really, someone who is kind to you, you're never really scared of them, are you? You're never really frightened when they, even when you did something wrong. There was so many times in my life that I had an opportunity to experience what it was like to do something wrong. I mean, I perfected that pit in your stomach feeling when you had to go home after school. I mean, I could have written a book on the different, the nuances between the different stomach feelings about, well, if you've done this and you feel this way and you're going home, or if you've done this other, and there was times when I got home after one of those days and I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. And my stepdad's car was in the driveway. And I was like, oh, I was actually afraid to go in the house. But then there was most of the other times when he wasn't home and I just went home. Same thing, done something real bad, in a bunch of trouble at school, go home, and there's my mom's car. Although I was concerned that I had disappointed her, I was never really scared. Because she's just kind. Oh, she's been to yell at me. I was going to be in a lot of trouble. But there's this, you just really can't put your finger on this kindness. But I'm going to try to this morning because we want to emulate that. We want to be that kind of person and have that kind of spirit and to, provoke from others this idea of kindness where even when you're going to yell at me, even when I know I'm in trouble, even when I've stepped in it and I've disappointed you and you're really going to give it to me, there's just something about it that's not scary. It's nurturing and it's giving life. It's not bringing about the feeling of death. The first thing when we talk about, you know, I want to go through these 5 points that we've come up with to talk about what it means. How do you live this? How do you show kindness? The first thing, and if you think about the women, the godly women in your life, this is, you know, these are just 5, and they might not be all of them. This might not be inclusive, but it's just 5 things that we can work on to follow their example. And the first thing, if you want to show kindness, you know, these people, these women, they show it by being sensitive. You know, they just have this sensitivity about them where they realize that everyone you meet, you know, a month ago, I had on the sign out there that be kind because everyone you meet is going through a difficult time. I mean, the reality is that everyone in your family has trials and they're carrying a heavy load. Everybody is. There's not, you know, even on my best days, when I come home and the kids are like, hey, Dad, how was your day? And there's some days I'm like, woo, that was a tough day. Some days I'm like, oh, it was a great day. But any day, I'm carrying a load. Everyone is. Even on your best day, there was something that weighed on your heart that's concerning you, whether it's something personal or something global where there's just always, your heart's always breaking for the affliction or the heartbreak or the devastation going on somewhere else in the world. Everyone is always dealing with something. And there's just, you know, kind people have this sensitivity to know that everyone's dealing with something. In Philippians 2 and 4, it says, each of you should look not only to your own good, to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Somebody who is kind, is sensitive, not just to themselves, but to the interest, the turmoil, the toils, and the hardships that other people are going through. You know, if you want to be kind, if you want to show kindness, there's an enemy to this. And the number one enemy to being sensitive is busyness. You know, those people that are just so, I mean, ain't nobody got time for that. Somebody that's just always busy, that's always running, that's always, you know, doing 1,000 different things. And then, you know, and they just, we just pass right by people that have, I need you written all over their face. See, if we want to show kindness, there's a discipline to simplicity, to keeping our lives to the point where we can recognize on the faces of others. You know, some of the greatest advice I've ever gotten in ministry is when an older brother came to me and said, Shane, you really need to work on being sensitive to the needs of others. I know you're a minister. I know you're a gospel preacher, but there's a lot of times in your life that I can see you walk right by somebody that needed you. That just needed you to look at them and say, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? You know, you just look like something's going on. What is it? And I haven't gotten it all right since then, but I remember that every day and think there is nothing that I am doing on a daily basis more important than noticing what's going on in the lives of others and trying to be more sensitive. That's kindness. The next thing that if we want to be kind, if we want to show kindness, not only are we going to be sensitive, we're going to be supportive. In Proverbs 15 and 4, it says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. You know, there's one of my favorite Peanuts cartoons. You know, Charles Schulz, I think, was a genius when it comes to writing things like this. One of my favorite is there's, you know, the little redheaded girl that Charlie Brown was so in love with? Well, she's on the phone, and Charlie Brown's on the phone with her, and she said, hey, Charlie Brown, I want you to know I'm running for homecoming queen at my school. And Charlie Brown looks over at Lucy, who's standing right next to him, and she's got a crown on. He said, oh, that's great. Well, Lucy has already won homecoming queen at our school. And then the next thing is you see the redheaded girl on the phone, and she's like, you know, her eyebrows are kind of down, and she's like, your school must have low standards. And then the next thing is Lucy talking to Charlie. She said, what did she say? Lucy says to Charlie, well, what did she say? And then Charlie's looking over there and he says, she says congratulations. What are your words like? Are they words of support? Or are they words of erosion? You know, this morning in Ward's marriage class, we talked about, you know, being, you know, how husbands and wives, you know, support one another and talk about one another to their children and to others in the community and talk about one another. What are our words like? Do we, if we want to be, have this godly spirit, aren't the godly women in your life supportive? I mean, they're not to to a sinful fault, but in supporting us in the ways that we transgress, but supportive in who we are and lifting us up and pointing out the good and not being so critical, but being supportive. Is it, do you have friends that just everything you tell them, they, well, that's not going to work, or this is not going to happen, you know, or you can't do this, or do you, you know, how do you feel when you're around people like that? You want to avoid them. Now, each of us have people like that in our life. Doesn't mean we have to be like that. If we want to be kind, if we want to have that nurturing spirit of following God and the godly women that He's placed in our lives, aren't they supportive of us? Aren't they, you know, when everyone else has something negative to say, don't they somehow try to spin it or turn it or shield us from that and say, congratulations. Be supportive of one another. Use kind words, not cruel words. The next thing, if we're going to be sensitive and supportive, but it's also about being sympathetic. In Romans chapter 12 and 15, when others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrows. Being sympathetic is sharing the emotions of others. And you might say, well, Shane, that's kind of like being sensitive. Well, sensitivity is noticing it. Sympathy is joining in with them. See, we can be sensitive. I can look and say, oh man, they look like they're having a bad day. Good luck with that. Or I can say, wow, they look like they're having a bad day. I'm going to walk. Sympathy is walking over and picking up that load. Helping them, understanding that everyone is carrying a load and that I want to make that load lighter. You know, there's one thing that I notice about, as coaching baseball, is that it's really difficult for 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds to really be really happy for someone else on their team or especially another team when they do something really, really good and maybe this guy over here really hasn't. You know, we had a situation yesterday where we go into extra innings, and this really great kid, I mean, he's a really good kid. He gets up, it's a tie ball game, they're home, they're batting last. We throw a pitch, walk-off home run, wins the game. Now, it was easy for my guys to be happy for him because he's a really good guy. Now, there's other people on that team that if they would have done that, not so happy. But see, being a kind person, regardless of who it is, when somebody's really, isn't it harder sometimes to be really, really happy for somebody when things are going really, really good for them and things might not be going really, really good for you? I mean, I don't know that we have such a difficult time being sympathetic when things are going bad, when someone's hurting or when someone's in need. But it's in those times when things are going great, don't you want to share that with people? Don't you want other people to genuinely be happy for you in those times to make those good times even that much better? You see, sympathy is not just about, oh, you're hurting, I'm so sorry, let me help you. But it's almost harder when sympathy is being, oh, things are great. I'm genuinely happy for you. Let's genuinely celebrate this. I know you're way up here and I want to lift you even higher. Knowing that the difficult times are going to come back around. But being kind, and those are those people that don't we just gravitate towards them? Because we know that even when I'm annoyingly successful, that they're going to be right there helping me celebrate that. And see, if we're those kind of people, when things are going bad, they know, hey, they've been there for me in the good, and when things are going bad, I want to be around them. And see, it just helps out in all facets of this. But not only, you know, sensitive and supportive, sympathetic, but, you know, when others are happy, we're happy. When others are down, we're carrying that load with them. We're helping them through it. But being straightforward. You know, wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy, Proverbs 27 and 6. And in Psalm 145 and 5, a good man may rebuke me in kindness. Being straightforward. This isn't just speaking your mind because it's the truth. This is being straightforward in a nurturing, helpful kind of way. If there's one thing that Jesus speaks against and the Bible comes out, it's against this wolf in sheep's clothing, someone that's always telling you what you want to hear. You know, the Bible says, talks about people that they, you know, and they tell them what their itching ears are waiting to hear. Now, you know, it's one thing to lift people up, but it's another thing just to, you know, just to tell them, oh, yeah, that you're doing fine, when they're really not. You see, a friend, a kind person, someone who's really looking out for me or really looking out for the betterment of someone else, when they're messing up, they're going to let them know. They're going to tell them, and it isn't it isn't such a harsh rebuke all the time. It isn't just, well, I'm that's the truth, so I'm just going to tell you. He says, speak the truth in love, in kindness, with a nurturing nature, with the intent of picking them up and helping them to be better. It's not just pointing out flaws. I mean, I know what I do wrong most of the time. But it's pointing things out and saying, let me help you. Let me level with you. You know, you're really kind of missing it here. And let me help you not miss it so badly. Being straightforward. We can't be afraid. If we want to be kind, godly people, we can't be afraid to level with each other. But level with one another in a sensitive, sympathetic way where, hey, you blew it and I'm going to help you not blow it again. Being straightforward. Being the kind of person that God wants us to be. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning is if you want to be kind, if you want to be the kind of person and show kindness, we've got to be people who are spontaneous. Who are as you know, in Galatians chapter 6 and 10, it says, you know, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of faith. You know, what God is telling us is that plans are great. Making plans and sticking to the plan and going by the plan, man, that is great. But there are times when we have got to be people who are led by and interrupted by the Holy Spirit of God. Because there's an opportunity to show kindness, an opportunity to show someone that what they're going through is important, their need is important. I've made plans and I might have had these plans for months, but right now you are a person and you're important. You know, Jesus was spontaneous. One of the greatest examples of God's love. One of the greatest examples of our Father transcending all of the social, civic, and spiritual issues that we cling to is in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Man, I go to that story for so much. I call on that story so many times in my day. And I think about all of the ways that touches our life. That one little episode and what's, you know, where Jesus, he talks to this outcast woman. He convicts this outcast woman and he empowers this woman. He gives her a mission. He sends her on her way with hope and with encouragement and with something to do for the kingdom. He gives her worth and value. And all of that started with a spontaneous conversation that I promise you was outside of the plan of everybody else there. And Jesus said, she's here. I'm here. No time like the present. I mean, I bet he, you know, from a long day of walking and ministering and teaching and counseling and parabling and all healing, all that stuff, I bet it would be nice just to get a glass of water, get up underneath a persimmon tree somewhere and just chill. Wait for the apostles to bring me back something to eat. But he sees this and he's like, you know what? This is a good opportunity right here. Everything else in the world, I imagine he wanted to do besides that. But Jesus was not one to give up on an opportunity to do good. Even if it was outside of the social plan, outside of the accepted, this is okay, this is not okay, even if it was outside of the spiritual plan. Look, the plan is I'm going to show this person right here and now how important they are. They're important enough for me to speak. They're important enough for me to reach in my pocket and to give. They're important enough for me to change my plans. See, that's kindness. That's showing somebody that how important they are. The question is this morning, who needs your kindness this week? Who needs you to be sensitive and supportive, to be sympathetic and straightforward with them? Who needs you to be spontaneous? Just to, when someone's name hits your head in your brain, pick up the phone and call them and say, you know what? I don't know why I was thinking about your face. I don't know why your name flashed across my monitor in my head, but it did. And I just wanted to call and let you know, I love you. That I just wanted you to know that you are you're important to me. I just want you to know that if I were busy and you were a woman at the well, I'd stop and I'd talk to you. Just who needs that kindness this week? You know, the people in our lives that have made the biggest difference for us are people that do that, that have those characteristics, those sympathies, those sensitivities, all of those things. How can we honor the women in our lives that have brought us to where we are and being like Jesus, like they have shown us to be? How can we do that? This Mother's Day, as we honor moms, and I know the restaurants are just going to be chock full and everybody's going to be there and jockeying for position, and you know, the husbands and children are going to be getting their mom up front. No, get mine. We need a seat for, you know, all that. Okay. But as we're doing that, who needs our kindness? You know, the greatest gift that we can give the women in our life, the godly women, the greatest gift we can give them is to be like them, to follow their example as they follow Christ. This morning, think about this. As we think about the women who have brought us to this place in our lives, who have shown us this kindness, and we think about the people that we want to show kindness to and the ways that we're going to honor God and honor these women this week, think about this. Do you want to leave here today the same as you got here? Do we want to, you know, there might be those here this morning that need to, that on this Mother's Day need to follow that ultimate example of a mother who confessed Christ, who was baptized, who led that life, who led that godly life. And the only thing that she wants from you this day is to follow her as she follows Christ. If that is your need today, confess His name, be baptized, and have the Holy Spirit of God so that you can show the kind of kindness that we're talking about today. Maybe you've been estranged from the Lord. Maybe you've been leading a life that's of lackluster spirituality, and you just want to come back. You just want to say, you know what, Mom? You know what, ladies in my life that have given me this example? I need your prayers. Whatever your need is today, as we endeavor to be godly and follow those examples and to show kindness, whatever your need is today, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?